Thanks for stopping by. That'll be due by Saturday.
Hey, Dave! We got a fax coming in!
Really? I haven't gotten a fax in forever. What's it say?
Hello, my name is Kara, long-time listener, first-time faxer. With Valentine's Day coming up, I was hoping you guys could do another rom-com on the show. I loved your episode on Pretty Woman, and I think the rom-com genre is one that is overlooked on your program and has the potential for some good content. Anyway, love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Kara.
That's a great idea. Anything to get us away from Season 1 Star Trek The Next Generation.
What should we watch?
I don't know, but we can't screw this up. This Kara must have gone through a lot of trouble to find a working fax machine to send in this request, so we can't let her down. Chad, search romantic comedy, all-star cast, season director, and, stunt casting.
Yeah, some pop star who's really popular but can't act to save her life.
Working.
Whoa, Dave, I think we're overloading Chad.
Oh, crap. We must have input too many data queries. He's gonna blow!
You're right, that criteria could be one of a million different movies.
What have we done?
To regulate the star!
You have 30 seconds. Minimum.
Oh, God, not again!
It's stuck!
Chad, unlock the front door! Chad, do it!
He's not responding!
Oh, screw it. I'm going out the window.
Mike, that's coming out of your pants!
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
I guess he found one.
We don't get paid enough for this.
We don't get paid at all.
Oh, here was the problem. The door was locked from the outside.
Why the hell is the lock on the outside of the door?
Sorry, I must have installed the door wrong after the last one got busted in.
This rom-com better be worth it.
What's it say?
And our Valentine's Day rom-com is... Oh. Valentine's Day.
We jumped through a window for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, that's a little on the nose.
Oh, says here it stars Taylor Swift.
I'm in.
Good enough for me.
Yeah, I'd jump through a window for Swifty.
Chad, load Valentine's Day. Let's feel the love.
Ugh, Dave, I think I need a doctor.
Movie loaded. Beginning playback.
Valentine's Day. It comes every year whether you like it or not.
Everybody's gonna love today, gonna love today, gonna love today.
It's the day when your love life is put on display.
I'd like to send a dozen of those to the best girl at my school.
These for your wife?
I'm 10 years old.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Where there's always a chance for romance or disaster.
Okay, I'm gonna go now, okay.
It can be confusing.
It's Valentine's Day today?
Hello?
No, it's a Monday. Valentine's Day always falls on a Thursday.
Who's your head? That's Thanksgiving.
And it can be complicated.
Alex and I were supposed to have sex today.
Love can't be planned.
It's not love she's talking about.
But at the end of the day, it's all about love.
So how do you guys feel about each other?
Oh my gosh, I totally love him.
And I'm crazy about her.
Sabian wrote his number on my hand.
There you have it, young love, full of promise, full of hope, ignorant of reality.
My father said to me, you're ever with a woman that's too good for you, marry her. Happy Valentine's Day.
Wow.
She said yes!
Oh. I know that we'll have a ball. If you get down and go out and just lose it all. I feel stressed out, I won't let it go. Let's go way out, face down, losing all control.
Was it Stalin who said, no retreat, no surrender?
I think that was from a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. Tonight's the night,
let's live it up. Greatest love song of all time.
Rock and Roll All Night by Kiss.
That's a stripper song. Go out and smash it, like oh my
God. Yes,
have another bottle of wine.
Valentine's Day is about anger, disappointment,
love,
romance,
mating,
discretion,
sparkly,
commitment.
I love it. I love hype.
You're the most special Valentine I have ever had. But just don't tell the other kids we had a date in the bar. It's just a little inappropriate.
Whew. Okay. That movie felt like an endurance run because I don't watch too many movies where I'm following 90 plot lines. I feel tired right now. I feel like I watched, 30 movies in one. And what an experience.
And not even one of them was good.
Well, that was Valentine's Day, folks. We got our wish. We got a movie that was exactly what it said it was going to be. It wasn't something completely different like what usually happens to us on this show. So I guess in a way I should be happy, but I guess be careful what you wish for. A part of me wishes this was a completely different movie. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Jackie.
I hate that. I don't know where I was going with that. Love stinks, right?
Yeah. I'm also joined by Michael.
Hello, Vladimir.
I was wondering if one of you were gonna do that little bit. Yeah, Valentine's Day. So I got to reveal something. I am not that big of a rom-com stan. There are a handful of rom-coms I like. I like As Good As It Gets. I like...
Harry Met Sally?
Yes, When Harry Met Sally. I'll have to look into my letterbox to see which rom-coms I actually like. But those are the only two that kind of come to mind. It can be done well. I think my deal with rom-coms is that the overly schmaltzy ones and the ones that are overly convoluted like this one, I have like roll your eyes syndrome. It's just like, oh, come on. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Sometimes they break it. Sometimes there were, not to say there weren't moments in this movie that I'm like, okay, that's kind of cute. But on the whole, I generally don't watch movies like this. What about you guys?
That's fair.
I'm ambivalent with rom-coms. Like, I think I'm rom-com neutral. I like good rom-coms and I don't like bad ones. I guess if there was
Like bad movies.
a positive thing for rom-coms is they are often they can be very pleasant and nice. The negative of rom-coms for me that I run up against a lot of times is I don't like rich people, and I think there's a lot of just like the lives of the idle rich in these movies.
I will say I like that we're all of a kind of different camp here, because I really like rom-coms, even and especially the bad ones. just for, because even a bad one, like I have.
What's a bad one that you like?
What's a bad one that I like? Well, we're going to make the obvious comparison later. And I'm not saying that this is a good movie or that I 100% like it, but I do have affection for large parts of it, is Love Actually. Similar, like, huge cast of 100 different characters doing a bunch of bullshit. It's most of it's stupid, and most of it actually makes you, like, angry. But there will be, like, in Love Actually, the Emma Thompson and Alan Rickman stuff, which, like, doesn't end happily and is two just really good actors, like, with great chemistry, where I'm always going to have affection for that. And that's really all that's the best you can hope for in, I mean, any movie, but especially a romantic comedy, is chemistry. Because if your script is shit and it's not about, and the characters are shit, which this, again, movie does that both times. If you've got, you know, people who are having fun, then it's fine. But
that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
And not to say that this movie had 0% charm or chemistry. Like, there were tiny little moments here and there, but it really just made me sad because it would be like Anne Hathaway, like, giving her all, and I'm like, oh, girl, you deserve so much better than this.
And then Topher
Grace. Can we all agree? I was about to say we're getting ahead of ourselves, but the fact that this movie has like 20 different plot lines going on, we're gonna jump all around.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say that we are all in agreement that Topher Grace sucks?
God, he was fucking awful in this.
I would say
I'm from Muncie, Indiana, and I don't understand your city ways.
God. I would say
you gotta pay off debts. What?
Miscast. Yeah, that whole plot line, that was my favorite plot line, and it
just
took
Anne
until
Hathaway
it took
is here.
The turn where it should have been.
She dumps him and is like, wait, actually, I don't need fucking,
or like,
I don't need this piece of shit.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are.
Dave, I think you should describe this movie, I think. I think this burden should fall onto you.
Oh, man. Well, as I said, this movie is a convoluted mess that follows about 90 different characters.
It's trying to do the Love Actually thing of these different characters who have a few kind of crossovers in their lives and relationships, but look at all these different paths.
And I'll say the writer of this movie is Catherine Fugate, who has an interesting career as a writer. She wrote the 1996 direct-to-video crime thriller Counterfeit with a K.
Oh.
The 2003 film romantic comedy Carolina, which I've never heard of, but stars Randy Quaid.
Great.
Wow.
And then she wrote this movie in 2010, directed by Gary Marshall. And immediately after, she wrote a movie I've never heard of, but also directed by Gary Marshall, called New Year's Eve, which is literally this movie.
It's
but New Year's Eve, starring Halle Berry, Jessica Biel, John Bon Jovi, Chris Ludacris Bridges, Robert De Niro,
16 other. Yeah. I will say real quick before get into the plot of it, one more thing about rom-coms is I think historically, as with many things that are aimed at women and that women enjoy, it has been disproportionately shat upon as a genre.
Totally. Like, why?
Good stuff.
Why would rom-coms, like, why would the genre schlock of rom-coms inherently be worse than the genre schlock of, like, an action movie?
Exactly. And the fact that largely romantic comedies are just about, like, human relationships, even the, you know, stupider versions of that is like, I like that. I like movies about just people hanging out. Again, even when it's bad. But, God, this movie's fucking bad.
I guess, yeah, that's a good point. I guess I should, like, because I shouldn't say that a blanket statement of I hate all rom-coms. Like, because, rom-com is, you know, that's a pretty big umbrella. There's a lot that could fall under a romantic comedy.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff out there, a lot of bad stuff out
there. Meet the Parents, that's a good
one. Yeah,
point.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I guess this is a really tough movie to do to get into the plot.
Because it's bad.
It's one of those movies that's trying to juggle so much, you know, with the general theme of relationships and Valentine's Day and stuff. So basically, the plot of this movie follows, like I said, many different characters, all dealing with love in some fashion. You have young burgeoning love with the high school students, Taylor Lautner, Taylor Swift, and then Emma Roberts and
boyfriends.
And boyfriends, you know, they're and then you have like relationships that just started, and are they going to last? You have relationships like Hector Elizondo and Shirley MacLaine. They've been married for years, and oh no, like you find out that she had an affair, and where's this going to go? It's all different levels of relationships. And they all sort of, most of them kind of connect. And again, like I said before, in a really convoluted way, like apparently everyone just knows each other in this movie.
And again,
or some convoluted event will happen to get them together. You know, that kind
of thing. Not to say the Love Actually thing again, but I thought there was going to be more of that, of it being like, oh, and that character is, you know, so-and-so's brother who is old roommates with like this character, and instead it's just like, no, I think they're all friends. Just kind of were friends with each other.
It was weird because there were moments too where you think it should intersect,
like it'll cross over,
and then it
doesn't.
Like the thing I'm thinking of, one of the big plot lines is there's a woman who doesn't, you know, of course you got to have the characters that I don't like the holiday, that this is a holiday about.
Jessica Biel, and cast as slovenly lonely woman.
And so she is hosting a I Hate Valentine's Day party. And there's a whole thing where like no one's going to show up and like no one wants to come. And in the towards the like second act, deep second act of the movie where everyone's at their lowest point is when the party happens. And at this point, almost everyone's like upset with their relationship in some way. Like everyone's kind of like all the relationships that were there are having conflicts now. And this, you know, like, oh, this is the perfect time for like the people to show up for the I Hate Valentine's Day party. And you see, it's like all the characters we were following are like now. And then maybe something happens where they realize they were in love.
Bunch of randos who like we've never met.
It's so
like,
weird.
Oh, actually your friends did show up. Cool.
Having a very unhealthy ceremony, I might add, where they take a picture or a memento of something of someone they dated and burn it.
They all have
indoors.
They all have indoors. Hard copy pictures of like exes that they're burning. Anyway.
Burn!
Justin Levy broke up with me on the morning of my birthday, still showed up to my party.
Burn, baby, burn!
Yvonne Quinteros dumped me for the piano player at the Beverly Wilshire 2 hours ago.
Oh, Charlie.
Oh. Burn, baby, burn!
But yeah, the one moment of that is the Jamie Foxx character who was introduced earlier shows up, but that's the one like connection where you're like, look, these two characters who didn't know each other are coming together.
Well, we got two in this moment. Jamie Foxx and Jessica Biel, and then the little kid and Jennifer Gardner.
Little kid named Edison Paddington.
Wow.
What the fuck?
Yeah, there is a line where they're like, where's Edison?
that happens, yeah. Emma Roberts is running after the kid because she's his babysitter.
I'll say it again, I hate the rich.
And I hate the rich. But that moment,
oh, man, I thought they were brother and sister.
No,
I thought
she has a line where she's like, I nanny after school, and then she like,
no,
picks
I know,
him up.
But like, it's one of the things that this movie does.
You should have just connected it, yeah.
Where I was like, okay, so they're brother and sister, right? She's taking him to soccer
practice. But she says, yeah, out loud, like, Edison, come back or something, and I out loud was like, that kid's name has been Edison this whole time.
There was like a few relationships.
It's one of the curveballs this movie throws you.
There were a few relationships I thought were brother and sister, but then I thought the Ashton Kutcher and
Jennifer Garner and Ashton Kutcher were being introduced
and
as
spoilers,
brother and
they're
sister.
They're definitely not.
They end up together because, again, there's no, or maybe there is, and I just missed it, but I was expecting some kind of like clunky rom-com line of like, you know, he calls her to say, because his storyline starts where he proposed to his girlfriend and she said yes, and everyone's like, oh, she said yeah, oh great, and everyone's
that's right, everyone was expecting her to say
but
no,
so he
basically.
Like you know, Jennifer Garner shows up and he's like, she said yes, she's like, oh great, I'm expecting some kind of line of them being like, hey sis, like blah blah blah, or because they're not brother and sister, some kind of line of like, oh, Ashton Kutcher, like, we've been best friends since, you know, first year of college.
It is really vague of like what their relationship is.
You'd think
is,
there'd
yeah.
be some yeah. kind of clunky exposition at least to
it's
be like oh, we go way back, remember when we met in elementary school.
And it's weird, like that does come back where there's like a, it's like towards the end of the movie there's like a line where it's like, oh, you're my best friend. And
like,
it feels like
this
a weird spot.
Should have come in at the 10-minute mark, bro.
Yeah, this whole time I was thinking like, oh, are they like
what is their
cousins
relationship?
Or like,
because
Was it the movie, the writer and the director trying not to, like, reveal their hand that they're going to get together in the end?
I don't know, because there's a couple elements which, I guess let's get into it, of the one storyline that surprised me was the football player coming out as gay, and then at the end there's the reveal that the Bradley Cooper character is, like, his ex.
They didn't let him kiss, the cowards.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's 2010. But, like... That was the one thing that I was like, okay, you hit that pretty well for me. But yeah, the stuff,
and it made, that was a cool, that if we're talking about the movie, that was something I liked about the movie, because it was a surprise. It ended up being like a sweet resolution of the character, although they should have kissed,
but considering it was 2010, I'm really, they could have been so much worse and much more homophobic.
And it also made the Bradley Cooper character a lot more, like, the interaction with him and Julia Roberts, it recontextualized it to make it
a lot better. That's the storyline of 20, where Bradley Cooper is on a, like, 14-hour plane ride with Julia Roberts, who is like a soldier coming home from,
and their whole thing is, like, I love that their whole plot line is just sitting on a plane. Like, it gave real vibes of, like, listen, I'll do your movie, Gary. Come back.
Yeah. Julia's like, look, Gary.
I'm doing 5 hours and I'm sitting down for most of it.
You get me, half a day, 1.5, like, locations. Okay?
I will sit next to Bradley Cooper for a while.
I'll change into a sweater.
This would have been right after Bradley Cooper really popped with Hangover. Like, this is he's big now. He's a star.
But this is still kind of him
in
that.
Is this pre-Silver Linings Playbook?
Yes. That would have been like 12 or 13. Yeah. But this is still him kind of trying to break out of that, like, dirtbag arena that I argue I don't think he ever has.
Well, he until you find out he's gay. His character is basically like, oh, is this like the creep on the plane sitting next to you?
But played, you know, not creepy.
He's played charming.
Facebook? If you were sitting next to this man for 14 hours, you would. Hate it every
I gotta say
I'd sit next to him on a plane.
Well, I guess he was charming, but I'll say this, the main trait with Bradley Cooper in this movie, other than the twist that him and Sean Jackson, the football player, are together, is that, hot damn, Bradley Cooper looks good in a vest. Is it just me?
He's very good looking.
I was like, he was very, like, dashing in that vest.
He does.
Bradley Cooper is, I always in my head think of him as Brody Cody, is what I call him, because years and years ago, a friend of mine, we were trying to remember his name.
Your pre-vent days?
Yeah, it was. Back when I talked with other humans that weren't you guys. But we were trying to remember Bradley Cooper's name, and neither of us could. And eventually we came up with Brody Cody, and we were like, it can't be that. But it
feels right.
I feel like we're really close.
Brody Cody.
Especially based on his early roles.
He's very Brody Cody.
Yeah.
He
was fine.
He's a very handsome man.
He's perfectly fine.
He has very nice hair. He's a great jawline.
I kept waiting, like, where is this going to go? Because, like, it keeps getting back to them. And it definitely doesn't feel like... It definitely had the vibe of, like, a wraparound story.
It's like, funny, like, because, like, stuff is happening, like, in the rest of the movie, like, the day is progressing, and every time it cuts to them, they're still sitting
on the plane.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a really long
now
plane
they're eating pretzels.
It was so random. There were several moments in this movie, especially towards the end, where I was a little iffy on the editing. Like, it literally felt like, and now we're here, and here.
Yeah,
here,
they were
here,
like,
here,
oh, shit, you know, we've got five more resolutions we need to put here and here and here. Okay, fine.
They could have cut some of these plot lines out. Like, the Jessica Alba story
made
sense. Well, she's just like, I said yes to you, but it's a lot, and now I gotta go. I'm moving out. It's like, whoa, that's fast.
Well, that happens, but then there's still, another, like, scene and a half that goes back to her.
Where she checks into a hotel.
Which, who cares?
It doesn't lead to anything. It just leads with her leaving the hotel later, walking down the street alone.
Yeah,
it's like,
sure.
And I think this might be as good a place as any to say this, but Dave, before we recorded, while you were getting the radioactive treats for us to munch on, Jackie and I watched the trailer for this movie.
Oh my god, the trailer.
Did you see it too?
Yeah.
Did
Evil
you
Kitchen.
Notice that like
half the shots they used don't end up in the movie?
Yeah, it was not shots from the movie.
There's a lot of, or it's like it'll be something completely we didn't see at all, or like a very different coverage shot, which was just, it just felt so messy.
It makes me think that there was probably like a lot in this movie that was,
they just did take after take of like dumb bullshit and were like, I don't know, we'll figure it out in post.
What if they literally did just make 20 movies and they cut it down to this?
That's what it is, because that's the thing where there's not one single plot that's strong enough to be a movie.
There was like a scene that they had in the trailer where Jennifer Garner's the teacher, right?
Yeah.
Where she's like talking to Edison, because one of the plot lines is Edison is,
he's trying to buy some fancy bouquet for the girl he likes,
and you assume it's like this one girl who's talking to his own age, but then it turns out it's Jennifer Garner, the teacher. And so there's like the moment where Jennifer Garner's like, hey, I'm like a teacher, this isn't cool.
Maybe you
and
should go talk to a
there,
girl you're
there's
always.
A scene in the trailer that's from that moment where Jennifer Garner's like joking around with him, like, you better tell the kids you weren't hitting on me at the bar, ha ha ha. And I'm like, oh god,
like, this is a 10-year-old.
I see why this didn't make the movie.
Yeah, that whole angle with the kid, like his Valentine is Jennifer Garner, he's in love with Jennifer Garner. I thought that was going a different direction. I assumed, because you never see that kid's mom throughout the movie until the very end when it's revealed as Julia Roberts. So I assumed,
I will say that Michael did lean over to me and call that way before.
Oh, really?
It happened.
Yeah.
Immediately, once Julia Roberts is like, there's this, when it's,
well,
like,
because Bradley Cooper
vague
keeps
that it's
saying
a man,
like, oh, that's a real lucky guy you're going home to for this long plane ride. And she kind of smiles like softly, and it's like, oh yeah, she's a mom.
It's my son, you creep.
Fucking ass.
No, he is a lucky guy.
I will say that was a twist that I enjoyed. That was one of the few charming moments in the movie.
Yeah, it was a sweet hug at the end.
It was very sweet. And then you get, of course, sweet Hector Elizondo just smiling. He's the grandpa.
Yeah.
I saw that going a different way, because I assume that the kid, because again, there's a lot of things that this movie keeps close to the chest, like where the kid's mom is.
I thought she was dead. Yeah,
I thought she was dead too, and I thought maybe that was the reason why they don't like Jennifer Garner.
The reason I thought it was why I was like, oh, it's got to be because they never say she's dead. They just say she's like, they're vague about
she's
it.
Where's more? Yeah. Yeah. He has like a sad moment of seeing like other kids with their moms, and is like,
oh, well, yeah, he's at soccer practice. Yeah. He's like, I want
exactly,
a soccer mom.
Which is, again, they throw that red herring where like, okay, clearly the mom's dead, and he's not in love with her. It's more of like, she's a mother figure, and I want like a mom essentially. But no, they don't go that way. Instead, they literally go the way
I'm
where it's like, I am in love with you. I like older women, much older women. He says that in the movie.
He says that, which is so fucking creepy.
And there's a line in the movie that, to be fair to the movie, it's not what I thought he said, but this is one of the famous Dave Heard Wrong moments.
Oh, I didn't know this was a famous thing.
I guess we haven't talked about it on the air, but there have been several instances with movies where I misheard a line and you guys all laugh at me. But anyway,
you guys don't remember that of all the times you've laughed at me?
Well, so there's a line towards the end of the movie when the kid is talking to Jennifer Garner in the restaurant, and Jennifer Garner's like, but so-and-so likes you, the kid your age.
Yeah.
And then the kid starts going into things that they have in common. She likes this, she likes that. There is a line he says that I misheard. He says, oh, she loves drafts too.
I know Rainey likes you.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I like her a lot too. She's the only other fifth grader who has Frank Zappa on her iPod.
See?
And she loves giraffes.
Oh.
I thought the kid said, she loves your ass too.
I guess me and the little girl my age do have in common, we both think that you are fucking hot, Jennifer Garner.
There was like a moment.
You ever notice how
like...
our teacher's Jennifer Garner?
You ever notice how our teacher's extremely beautiful?
Well, it's just, there was like a loud clicking in my head that it took me a moment. I'm like, did
what?
He just... Oh,
what?
He said drafts.
Okay.
I'm just imagining like Davey like writing notes and
you're
just like
seriously
stop like what?
Oh, I put an asterisk and then I put like a big circle on my notes.
Huh?
Like, she loves your ass too? Oh, wait. But I'm going to, Chad, could you drop that line in here, please? Now, listen to this line and
tell me he's not saying your ass.
And she loves giraffes.
It kind of sounds like your ass instead of giraffes. Anyway. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, that
I will say it's a weird. I think I've more often heard that than she loves giraffes too. That's a weird pull.
Well, to be fair, that one was set up earlier in one of the few scenes that I actually just liked.
The
kids at soccer practice.
That was a good scene.
It's
for
the
sure.
little boy and the little girl his age, and they're like tossing like
the ball back and soccer forth. Ball. It's really cute.
He keeps on like headbutting it, which is a very like I'm 10 years old things to do. And he's like, "Are you gonna watch Discovery Channel tonight? It's gonna be about giraffes." And she's like, "No, I don't know if I can." And it's just a cute little.
It
scene.
Is cute, and that's like it feels like. Kids that like each other,
and it's to be fair of how badly this movie is written, it does set up that one, her family owns a restaurant that the last act is gonna end up in, and she mentions that that's where the I Hate Valentine's Day party is, where she's like, yeah, it's this like weird lady who throws it every year. It's a bunch of like Miss blah 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 Jennifer Garner teacher's friends, and
she basically is like, so it's the a bunch kid of weird knows, white ladies.
Yes, basically. These fucking insane white women who hate Valentine's Day, I guess.
It always crass my oh, and yeah, we should, the woman's
the little girl's the Indian. Girl's it's Indian an Indian
and,
food
and
restaurant.
And her family is like runs an Indian restaurant.
There is at the end, Jennifer Garner, Jessica Biel's sad white lady party. They start doing Indian dances with the group, which is a choice. It's a big choice. Anyway, what was some other storylines that occur? We've got Ashton Kutcher is the Mr. Florist man who
buys his flowers at a different floral place.
Well, the nature of his job is odd because he's like,
he lives
guy.
In Venice, in LA, on the water.
Millions of dollars. I think.
Which
here's my...
Very expensive place.
They establish he owns a florist shop. I think he's either inherited wealth or he has like some weird clientele, like where it's like I give flowers to the rich, like to Beverly Hills rich people. But yeah, he runs a flower shop, but he buys flowers from somewhere else. He delivers flowers, and he also runs a bakery.
Yeah, there's also like a full coffee shop attached to the florist.
See, this is another thing where like. Rom-coms that kind of rubs me the wrong way, where it's like whoever wrote this like has never had a job.
No,
like they don't know how like labor works.
Well, that to be fair, that's most movies. But that's...
and apparently if you have like a side job where you're trying to make money to pay off debt and it's like a phone sex line, you're just a piece of shit.
Oh yeah,
apparently.
You're disgusting.
Oh, disgusting.
We'll get into that fucking story.
Actually,
line.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's talk about that one. Yeah, one of my
poor Anne Hathaway.
Because I think that's
God bless
one of the,
her.
I think it's a fun, like, so Anne
it's
Hathaway
a fun character.
Is basically like she's. Working like a temp secretary.
Yeah, she's
job.
She's like a receptionist, but is moonlighting as what she calls an adult
it's
phone entertainer.
Naughty. She's it's funny
it's
because
phone
like
sex.
You see her basically like doing like some like phone sex stuff, but it's all like it's very cartoonish,
it's very and accent based.
It reminded me of Street Fighter, and that it was all like cartoon versions of countries. It seemed to be like,
and I am the Russian dominatrix.
If you do that again, Vladimir, I will have no choice but to get down off my horse and punish you. I'm wearing my thigh-high black leather boots, carrying my riding crop. Pull down your pants and bend over.
I think this floor has the most Valentine's of any
sweet
floor.
Sweet little pink is you have, and I will beat it with my crop until you submit to me, you filthy peasant. I will beat it and beat it and beat it and beat it. Das vidania.
Thank you for calling Naughty Nymphos. The charge will appear on your credit card as Vague Entertainment. Hi there.
She also uses props too.
She does. She uses a lot of prop work, a lot
Scott
of Foley
work.
Yeah,
and it's funny because like you realize like it's not only is she like working for it, but you get the sense like, oh, she's like started a whole line.
Yeah,
like, she's operating.
She's
this
a small
whole
business owner.
Naughty
like,
Nymphos is all her.
You know, I gotta wonder. This could be helpful because it's also revealed that she's an aspiring actress.
Yeah.
And And this could be good for her for that, because this is laying a good improv foundation for her.
Well,
and
she's doing VO work. Yeah.
Like it's all like goofy stuff. It's never like what we see anyway. It's all like really kind of like silly things, or it's like,
yeah.
Oh, hello, Vladimir. Yes, I.
Or I invited like, you like a pony.
Yeah, well, like, oh, hey there, movie, Sal. Right? You ready to giddy up on me? It's, well, let's get going.
Well,
yeah.
So she's having to juggle that with the new guy that she started seeing, Topher Grace, just human tofu.
Who works in the mailroom at the office she works
who
at.
Who's like, oh, a little country boy doesn't know anything about the world and he doesn't even know it's Valentine's Day. I hate him.
I thought Valentine's Day was always the 4th or the 3rd.
Tuesday. Blah, blah, blah. But... So she's like,
I do like that she's using her office phone for
that's the thing. What
which
is she
is
giving
pretty
out
ballsy.
Her work yeah. number?
And then Queen
she must
Latifah,
really be in debt.
Who is her boss? Which is, I think, one of the best relationships in the movie is Queen Latifah and Anne Hathaway.
We only get like a minute of them interacting, really, across.
But
the whole
there's
thing.
Like a moment where like Queen Latifah comes out and is like, "I got someone who's on line 7 who's like wants to be spanked."
Wonderful, yes.
How fast does that cart go?
Well, let's find out.
Liz, there's a man on line 2 asking me to cover him up in Vaseline and bubble wrap.
I'll take care of that. Damn prank callers.
And he doesn't have a Russian accent, so I don't think you'll need your horse.
You heard that?
My phone line.
Oh, Paula, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Am I fired?
That's cool. You got away with dirty words. I like that. Just make sure you answer my calls first.
Absolutely. Oh, you do not have to worry about that.
This is like the typical, like, you got spunk, kid. You know, I like
your stuff. I like your stuff. I also like the Queen Latifah.
I like your get up and go.
Keeps her sunglasses on, like, the entire time.
Which is a funny, like, dynamic. And that, it gave me hope that, like, oh, this is, like, this is going to be fun. Like, so of course the arc of this is Topher Grace is out to dinner with her on Valentine's Day and she sneaks away for a quick call.
Well, as like, she says, Valentine's Day is the busiest day of the year for
right.
phone sex.
It's like her big day too. So she's like, got to make bank. And Topher Grace like walks out to like see where she is and sees that she's doing this. And again, it's a very silly conversation.
She's doing like a Tennessee Williams like accent, and she's like clearly very like bored. She's like, "Uh huh, sugar."
Sugar. Yeah.
Right,
it's
you,
clear
bye.
From her. It's clear from her demeanor. She's not necessarily into whatever she's saying.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, it's like, I'm doing this because I got it.
He walks out and he's like, "Well, it seems like you're talking to your boyfriend." She's like, "I'm clearly fucking."
Yeah,
not.
And he plays it like it's like a Kevin Smith movie. Like he's so upset and so sad. And like that's not the direction I wanted this to go in at all. Like what it should have been, if like is Topher, it should have been like funny and like they should go back and like they're having dinner and he's like making fun of her
I
for
know,
like
they,
the goofy
they
like
play it for
oh I hope
drama.
You don't like yeah they it pivots way too hard into like
yeah.
It's they play it as if he walked out and saw her like shooting up heroin.
Like, or if he caught her like actually like having sex with people, and it's like, one, that's not even what's happening. Two, she very clearly says, like, I mean, she doesn't say in this clear term of like sex work is work, but she's also like, I have so much student debt, like, bro, I need money.
That should be the instant moment where Topher Grace is like,
oh, I get
okay.
it. No,
exactly.
The arc of it should have been like, it should have been funny and it should have been
yes.
like a thing they like bonded over. And like the arc that I would imagine that like the slam dunk arc is they go back to dinner. He's just like making fun of her or whatever. But then like as he's making fun of her, he's like, oh, maybe this is kind of fun. And the closing
yes.
scene is like they're like both on the line together, like a couple's
yes.
call kind of thing.
Yeah,
that would have been so fun and cute. But instead, she's like, yeah, I'm doing like sex work to like get out of debt. And he's just like, OK, well, I'm out.
Well, it gets so dark. He's like, oh, yeah. How much are you going to charge me for this date?
She's just like, okay, fuck you. Wow.
It's wild. He ends up meeting with Hector. So he walks out on her. He's a total prick. And then, you got student.
And like, I'm not even like getting on my high horse morals about sex work. It's just like, even within the movie with like how they're playing, what's going on, it's so silly. Yeah. Until like, it doesn't compute. Like
also, and it goes without saying, but like Anne Hathaway looks so incredibly gorgeous, and he's Topher Grace, and it's just
he's bland man.
He's bland it's, man. Yeah. He has a lack of a haircut, and
she's Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway.
Who is I do like Anne Hathaway in this movie. I think she's like giving it
her all. She's always she's fun. She always will give it her all. But even though it's just doesn't deserve
it's just wild because he ends up leaving her, and then he goes on. He's a sad sack. He's like, oh, I guess I'll go to the movie. You know, watch a movie in the cemetery by myself. And this is where him and 100
other people.
This is where him and Hector Elizondo kind of their stories intertwine
because Hector Elizondo earlier that day found out that his wife had an affair decades ago.
Yeah, and so he's now that is an honest reaction where he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go and be by myself. I need to process."
That was a good. That was a good arc. That was
yes,
an appropriate reaction.
And
like,
well, just once
it made
again,
sense there would be a conflict there.
You know, actors having these thankless roles. Shirley MacLaine and Hector are just like, I love seeing them show up, but oh my god. I'm sorry that this was their plot.
So the two, Hector Elizondo and Topher Grace meet up. He doesn't have a ticket. He gets up to the booth and they're out of tickets. And then Topher Grace is like,
Hector's like,
I got
please.
An extra one. Why don't you come sit with me? Like, we've both been wronged, right? And Topher Grace has the craziest line in the movie where he's talking to Hector Elizondo and Hector's like, oh, I guess you've had a bad time too, right? And Topher Grace has the gall to say,
pretty much the worst Valentine's Day story of all time.
Worst Valentine's Day ever. It's like, why are you kidding me?
Fucking asshole.
Worst Valentine's Day of all time.
Anne Hathaway was on a date with you and into you, and you, you like dumped her.
I found out my girlfriend that I've been seeing for 2 weeks moonlights. And
I found out my girlfriend does borderline Looney Tunes sex calls.
It's just like, dude, think about what you're saying. Like, I found out my girlfriend has debt, so she has an extra job.
God. I found out my girlfriend drives for DoorDash.
Who I've only known for 2 weeks.
Yeah, who, they just hooked up for the first time, like, the day before.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, like, you barely know her. It's not like it's like, oh, I found out my wife has had the secret life or something.
This isn't your decades-long marriage that you found out there was infidelity.
Yeah, it's not Hector Elizondo finding out on the eve of renewing vows with his wife that his wife had an affair
with his business partner,
with his friend.
That was some spicy plot line. Having the affair with your husband's business partner, damn Shirley.
But I do. It felt very real though how that was resolved, where it's just like, all right, whatever.
Well, real in the sense that Shirley MacLaine shows up in like a big flowy, sparkly dress and is like,
and he's watching
Edgar,
her
I love
movie.
You.
Yeah, he's
watching her.
Yeah,
movie.
He's watching like, oh, this is the movie she starred in, and when I fell in love with her, and that was a very cute moment, I liked it. It was kind of like a meta like Hollywood thing, I think, where like everyone's
they have old Shirley MacLaine footage.
Well, specifically like everyone's watching, it's like a movie in the park situation, and they're watching this movie with this young actress, and then she shows up like the actress, but she's like an old woman now,
they're
and
like
no one recognizes her, and they're all just down like, down in front, get out of here, like if they only knew. That's like the actress from the movie is showing up.
But it's also, and I do appreciate the corniness of like when she and Hector meet each other in the crowd and then they kiss, that everyone's
like,
aww. That's the kind of, I'll say, it's just complete, absolute popcorn cheese kind of rom-com shit that I fucking like.
If we're talking about like genre schlock, this is like the rom-com equivalent of like a guy being punched through a glass door.
I like when a couple comes together, they run to each other, and then they kiss, and everyone's like, aw.
How about, all right, if we're going to talk about...
For a kiss,
if we're talking rom-com tropes,
let's talk about
how about
the
moment when Topher Grace meets up with the Southwest Airlines guy who's played...
Oh.
Do you mean Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah, Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we haven't even talked about the so.
Oh, God. And the judge, yeah. Ashton Kutcher, who is, I guess, always been in love with his best friend, Jennifer Garner, who is sleeping with Dr. McDreamy, who has a whole ass family and wife.
We get the scene where, like, the scene is the first scene we see of Jennifer Garner and Hot Doctor is like them in bed and they're like getting
He's
up
like,
for the
oh,
day.
I gotta go. I'm gonna be in San Francisco tonight, babe.
And it's
so
full
we
on.
All knew he was a turd. Right?
It's full yeah. on the scene where like he drives away. And he's, like, driving into a house, and he puts his ring on.
Well, he's, like, on the phone with her. He's like, yeah, I can't talk. I'm pulling up to the airport. Bye. Slides the ring on and then go kisses his daughter on top of her head and is like, hey, babe. Hey, wife.
Sorry, I had to stay in the condo.
My wife who's, like, actively getting out of the pool in a bikini. Hey, what's up? Happy Valentine's Day.
And so Ashton Kutcher finds out because he goes to the hot
well,
doctor.
He knows
no, hot doctor comes
hot doctor
to
goes
order
to the
flowers.
Florist. And he does this thing like, oh, so I'm getting flowers for this woman and this woman. And he real like, one of them is Jennifer Garner.
Well, he's
and
like,
the other
and
one,
I need wink discretion.
He's like, yeah, the florist code, right? And Ashton Kutcher is like, yeah, the code.
The code. Anyway.
Look, I hate to play this card, but I'm a doctor. I have a surgery in an hour and a half. Is there any way you can help me get around the line?
Say no more. Let
Thank you.
Can I get an order form, please, for the great doctor here?
I need two arrangements. Something special, long stem roses for each one of my ladies. I need your discretion. We have an understanding, right?
I understand. There is a florist code about these things.
Oh, great. Here's the credit card. And here are the addresses. These are the addresses for the ladies.
That was kind of a funny bit where he was like, okay, yeah, the florist's code.
Yeah, it's like, you didn't have to come in here and be like, and so these are for my girlfriend, these are for my wife. You could have just been
Who
like, I'm
that?
Sending flowers to my wife and like my sister or
yeah,
whatever.
People give flowers
you know,
for like non-creepy or like...
What?
You don't have to wink and be like, and yeah. one of them's my mistress.
What kind of person does that? Goes in, it's like, so this is my mistress. This is mistress one.
Hey,
mistress
maybe
two.
The kind of person who has like...
Who's been doing this for
Who's
a
been
while.
Doing this. He's just yeah. a dirtbag and he's like, yeah. he's power tripping on it.
Yeah.
So Ashton Kutcher is like, I want to tell Jennifer Garner that this guy has a
whole family.
And that is what leads His us wife. Into the airport.
Well, because Jennifer Garner thinks yes. that Dr. McDreamy is in San Francisco because that's what he told her. So she's like, I'm going to just fly up there and surprise him. And it's going to be like so romantic. And so, of course, Ashton has to catch her at the airport.
And this is where we get our other rom-com horror trope, where they go to an airport and they're like, oh, I don't have a ticket. I got to get a ticket
I
fast.
I
got to
get then, through security.
Exactly. And then it relies on one person who like, you know, oh, this is going to be the obstacle. But then it turns out, you go get him, man. And speaking of Gary
it's,
Marshall.
It's a good old Gary Marshall fave.
It's a Gary Marshall fan or mainstay, Larry Miller, who was in the restaurant, or not the restaurant.
He's the shop guy in
Pretty Woman. He's the guy
Pretty
in the
Woman.
Shop in Pretty Woman.
He's also yeah. the hairstylist in Princess Diaries, another Gary Marshall flick. Always good to see him on screen. He always gets to do something campy and just
You
fun.
Think he's going to like, no, this is the oversized luggage.
Yeah, he's like, I'm
going to
be a
there.
Hard ass. Just
but
kidding.
But then it turns out, oh, he's got a heart of gold.
Because Ashton Kutcher, what does he say? He's like, it's this girl. She's like sunshine.
Oh, she's like sunshine? Go get him.
Go
kid.
Get her.
There's this girl. Oh, don't tell me. That'll take the fun out of guessing. Let's see. There's going to be a tough one. There's a very pretty girl, and she's about to get on a big airplane. And if you don't stop her, she'll never know how you really feel.
Not exactly.
What am I missing?
If she gets on the plane, she's going to find out the hard way that the guy that she thinks she's in love with is a spineless, lying creep.
That's no good.
No, it is no good. And I can't let that happen because this girl, she is great. She's like sunshine. Everything is better when she's there. I can't stand the idea of some jerk hurting her. I just can't. I can't. Can you please be quiet so this nice young man can sell me a ticket, please?
Take it easy. Here, this'll get you to any gate in the place. She's like sunshine, huh?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, it's on me. Go on, get out of here.
Thank you.
Well, can you guys explain something to me? So it seemed like maybe I misread this scene, but it seemed as if Larry Miller gives Ashton Kutcher a one-size-fits-all airplane boarding pass.
Well, he gives him a piece of paper. He's like, this will get you through anywhere. And it was unclear if he's
what is that? What did he give him?
Are you giving him like your work badge or something to like get through the checkpoint? Or are you giving him like a ticket or what? Anyway.
He gave him a piece of paper that said, I'm in a rom-com.
This guy is doing a rom-com. He's cool. But of course, Ashton Kutcher's getting, the security line's taking so long because what a really funny joke. There's a fat guy in front of him. And he's got stuff in his pockets. And it's a very 2010 moment. But because it's taken so long and, flight 21 is going to be boarding of this minute. So Ashton Kutcher takes off running without his shoes.
And he took his socks off.
Yeah, he's fully barefoot, which is
which is a weird move. You don't have to do that.
Don't ask you to take the socks off, bro. So he can meet up with Jennifer Garner before she gets on the plane, and he tells her, like, he doesn't even say, because this happens, I'm getting so fucking fired up about this stupid movie. He tries.
This is like, we should say, like, halfway in the movie.
Yeah. He has already delivered McDreamy's flowers to Jennifer Garner at her job, which is teaching elementary school, and he like pulls her out of the classroom and he's like, I have to tell you something, but I don't know if I can.
Never mind.
He doesn't, which is why he has to meet up with her at the airport, and he finally tells her, like, hey, Dr. McDreamy's a fucking creep. He's got a wife. I delivered her flowers today, right after I delivered you flowers. So what's up?
And Jennifer Garner like doesn't believe him.
Yeah. Like, what reason? Like, why?
She says, like, why? Well, he was divorced.
But, like, I delivered flowers today, bitch.
But that doesn't that scene just kind of end?
Like, it just ends.
It's just sort of like, well, no, I don't think they're married.
She just kind of walks away from him. And then the security like, takes him away.
He puts up a pretty convincing argument where he's just like, he tells her, like, yeah, me and Jessica Alba broke up. And apparently everyone knew and no one told me. Mm-hmm. So this is why I'm telling you. I'm being the guy that's like, hey, like, all your friends know that this person sucks and you're not right for each other. But I'm telling you now, even though no one ever does. And that's a very convincing argument. And honestly, that's true to life. You know what I mean? Like, we've all been in a situation where someone we know is dating someone and you're like, that dude, like, that person sucks, but it's hard to tell that person. It's like, you can't tell them because they're in love. It's like, well, whatever.
And again, we've all been there. This is another scene, too, where I was saying earlier, there's moments where I feel like this movie sets up that the things are going to intersect and they don't. Mm-hmm. I was expecting that the plane she's getting on, like, is being deboarded with the Julia Roberts.
Yeah, like, she's going to...
And maybe they, like, have some interaction, but no, that's not at all.
Nope. Why would there be?
Well, that's because they only had Bradley and Julia for, like,
exactly.
A day.
Exactly. They had that would have been a bit more fun. I'm going to make another Love Actually comparison because that movie does have a pretty iconic airport moment, which is played a lot more... unbelievable but sweet, where it's like a kid running through the airport to meet up with his love, but you get in that scene like the swell of music and the like cute kid kind of thing, and Ashton Kutcher running completely barefoot through an airport is just not the same.
And it's not to tell him he loves someone. It's
no,
like,
he's
to
like,
just
hey,
be like,
don't do this.
This guy's got a secret family.
You guys got a secret family.
No, yeah, he doesn't. I don't believe you.
It's not a 10-year-old being like, I like you.
Well, it's funny. This is what I was getting at. This scene basically ends with Jennifer Garner saying, yeah, but you're the loser, not me.
Yeah,
and then it just sort of ends. It's like unclear. When
Where
that scene ends,
go?
I think it's unclear if she's like still boarding or not.
Yeah, but she literally just
find out
walks
she doesn't
off
later.
The frame. And then, yeah, she goes to the hospital where McDreamy works in LA and goes to the nurses where she's like, hey, is Dr. So is he married? And the nurses are like, yeah, girl, he's really married.
This is amazing. This is one of my favorite scenes in the movie because there's an older, so they basically tell him like, yeah, he's married, and she's, or basically tell her she's married, and Jennifer Garner just has this forlorn moment like, oh my god. My favorite moment in the movie happens where the older nurse walks up to her.
I think she's a doctor, Dave.
Whatever.
I think she was
the person who's working there, like, walks up to her and says, like, she gives her the location.
Yeah, the name
Patrick
of the
Dempsey.
Restaurant where he's going to be with his
she
wife.
She's like, oh. I just love the mess.
I love messy older nurse who's just like, hey, 4 o'clock, go fuck him up, make a scene.
I wanted a little bit extra bit where she's just like, yes, go kill the cheating bastard.
I want her to be like, I have seen him go through so many girls.
And there is like she goes. Goes there and basically like pretends to be like a waitress and starts waiting on them, which
like,
is a great power move.
Publicly that humiliating him. Yeah,
that's an okay scene. Like I like the move of like that. What they've set up, I like that. It's like she's gonna confront them by like being the waitress, where he of course is immediately knowing what's going on, and the wife is just like,
tell me about the special.
How slow on the uptake is this wife? Where she's like, oh really? That must cost a lot.
So she's Jennifer Garner starts serving him, and she's like, let me tell you about our special
monologue.
It's the stinking lying pig.
Yeah, and the wife's like, what's that like? And when her husband is like clenched up in fear next to you, you're like,
Well, we start by cutting off the pig's testicles and grounding it up.
She's like projecting this to the whole restaurant. All the old people who are at this early bird special are like,
Yeah, it's funny. Like, it's weird because on the one hand, this movie, like, it sets it up to be a romantic dinner place. But
it's
then while she's
lunch.
Giving the speech, it turns into like the Elks Lodge because you have to have all the old stuffy people being like, oh, testicles. Oh.
And yet, after all of this, the wife still doesn't know what's going on.
I know,
on.
She's
yeah,
just
he's
kind
like,
of smiling at the husband.
Then we take the cold, dead heart out of the pig. And she's
I was
like,
full on, she has, I was her, full on expecting Jennifer Garner to have to say, to take a moment, and to. I was expecting Jennifer Garner to realize that the wife still wasn't getting it. I wanted her to say something like, I'm having sex with your husband.
Your husband is cheating on you with me.
Well, but I'll have to
say
it.
My
for a
husband?
Special.
That's
I'll have the salmon.
Yeah, I'll have the salmon. Thank you.
Thank you. Also, why was our waitress wearing like a sexy leather dress? Seems like the other servers are just wearing like pants and shirts.
Honey, what do you think she meant by I'm having sex with your husband?
That's weird. Or,
is that like
I mean,
a French dessert?
Hey, writing my fan fiction over here. The wife knows. She knows every time.
She's
done,
just over
he's
it
this
at this
before.
Point. She's just like, okay, yeah, whatever. I'll have the salmon.
She's like, yeah, just get me some fucking salmon and a glass of wine.
This guy's rich as hell.
Have you
fine.
Seen
just,
my house?
You think
Beverly
I'm
Hills?
Not having affairs?
Come on. We're adults.
Yeah, like the only non-rich person in this movie is Anne Hathaway, who has like
who
three
has
different
debt.
Jobs or whatever. Yeah.
She's the only working class. She's the best character in the movie.
She is.
Yeah, maybe that's why she's
Justice
so likable, because she's the only like
I do
relatable
like,
character.
We haven't talked about this character, but the other character I liked almost as much as Anne Hathaway's character was the Jamie Foxx character.
He at least got to have some fun, even though his role is like, I fucking hate my life that I'm doing this stupid bullshit. I just want to talk about sports.
He had the some of the best like scene, like the scenes with him and Kathy Bates. I liked
again Kathy Bates, who they got for 3 hours.
If that,
and that's I would say. The Jamie Foxx and the Anne Hathaway of it all kind of support my point about how like if you have someone who can bring some chemistry, then you're halfway to a good rom-com. Where Jamie Foxx, even in scenes with the a character I probably hate the most, which is the Jessica Biel slovenly woman character, she's giving nothing, but he's giving so much that you're like, kind of having fun. And same with with Anne Hathaway, Topher Grace, of like one of these players is a lack of space and one of them is giving me something.
Poor Anne Hathaway. Poor she's Anne constantly Hathaway. In performances with another opposite another actor who's giving her nothing.
What else are you thinking of besides
hosting
this?
The Oscars with James
the Oscars.
Franco?
The Oscars.
They love. She just has such. I mean, people will say this as a negative about her, but she does have big theater kid energy, which is a very powerful force, and she can't help but just turn it all on. And I guess, yeah, directors or whoever see that and they're like, let's put a very wet blanket on top of her. Like the wettest
let's get
we can find.
A guy from Muncie, Indiana next to her.
Just the wettest blanket we have. But yeah, I hate this kind of rom-com trope that
I hate this.
I would say that the Jessica Biel, this is maybe one of the last examples I can think of. Like, I feel like it kind of thankfully died off in culture of the like extremely beautiful, thin movie star woman who's playing just such a mess. Look at this woman who has no control over her life. She's just a successful publicist.
She's like the most gorgeous woman you've ever seen in your life. And who could want her?
She's so lonely. She eats candy all the time. She's wearing 6-inch heels.
And she's a size zero.
Yeah.
That I fucking hate that.
That
reminds me of another rom-com trope. The idea, and maybe this is just a movie thing in general, but the idea of like when a woman like wakes up from sleeping, she's like
full makeup and hair.
Yeah.
she's obviously wearing
The first scene of this movie where Ashton Kutcher's proposing.
Jessica Alba wakes up.
She's in full makeup. Yeah,
she looks like she just got out of a photo shoot or something. Went into bed and she wakes up. They may as well have like a halo around her head.
It's like we're this is a movie and everything, but I can see like the blended eyeshadow and the like perfectly applied and, like, lip gloss.
It was kind of one of the things about this movie, that moment and the trailer too. We talked about the trailer earlier. There are moments in this movie, this whole movie in general feels like a spoof movie that you would
see.
It looks like a fake movie. Like there are times when it plays like a fake movie that you would see in like a better rom-com that's making fun of bad rom-coms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what this movie felt like a lot to me.
Yeah. It sure did.
Wow, I'm glad we got this listener request.
I know. I because
I'm sure they're going to love this.
I just thought of it, of the other storyline that I hated the most.
I forgot about all of the teen stuff.
We'll talk about the Taylor Swift, Taylor Lautner, because that is such it's such a time capsule moment. It's what it is like that's it's such a time capsule of 2010 of a specific time in 2010 when Taylor Lautner at the height of Twilight fame was dating Taylor Swift. It was a, you know, whatever, like 3 months.
Oh, were
moment.
They dating in real life?
They were dating in real life for like a second. So the movie was like, get it in.
And like Taylor Lautner is a fine actor and Taylor Swift is not.
I do appreciate that they cast her in the part of annoying girl, but also like it's so like we need to get young viewers, not just like 40-year-old into this movie.
It has big energy of like the sports player or the musician is hosting SNL this week.
Yeah.
But so that was all very, and it's a very much the moment.
It amounts to nothing.
It amounts to nothing. You could have cut it all, you know, not lost anything. But the whole thing is, you know, just these two famous people kind of poking fun at themselves. So like Taylor Lautner has a line of like, I don't really like taking my shirt off in public. And it's like, that's the joke. He's just been in all these Twilight movies where he's, you know, naked the whole time. And Taylor Swift is kind of doing the like, aha, I'm being a silly teen. I still make music for silly teens. Anyway,
I thought maybe they were working in a bit because I don't know if this is before or after this phenomenon, but I thought they were maybe working in a bit where Taylor Swift was like mentally writing a breakup song about Taylor Lautner, because there's a moment when he opens up the present and he's like, oh, it's my jersey or whatever. She's like, you don't like it? Like, in that moment, I'm like, she's writing a breakup song now.
It's,
I know it.
Making the Taylor Swift joke of like, oh, it's going to write a song about you, which is like, whatever. But the other teen storyline is Emma Roberts, niece of Julia Roberts. And boyfriend are like, so we decided we're going to have sex today for the first time on our lunch break from school. And then it doesn't work because he goes to her house before she gets there for some reason. She didn't give him a ride, and then he's fully naked, and oh no, her mom came home instead.
And her mom is like weirdly
that
like opens the door and sees him
so
naked.
So bad.
And like very weirdly does not just like shut the door.
Like, what are you doing in my house?
Wow, you're naked. Yeah, it's so fucking stupid and bad, and it involves like 5 full minutes of this teenage character being like
it's
almost
cringe.
Naked on screen.
It's very cringe.
And then he like runs out the door naked and then runs into Emma Roberts in her car. And she's like, what? Huh? And he's like, what? Huh?
It's one of the scenes where I'm like wondering, was there like a script or was it just loose direction?
Did you just tell these people
like
to...
Curb Your Enthusiasm? Where like, yeah. We have an outline of the scene and just kind of... Well,
it's bad.
I mean, to be fair to this subplot, the Emma Roberts and boyfriend, I don't know the actor's name.
I have truly no clue who this kid is.
I'm sorry, kid. To be fair to this storyline, it's more substantial than the Taylor Swift, Taylor Lautner one.
Sure.
Like, again, it deals with what I was saying earlier. Like,
it is, and it's weird that they're both in there, because, like, they're kind of, you got the teen love, like...
They fully were like, could we get a couple teenagers who see a Taylor and Taylor and are like, oh,
the Taylor
let's
and
see
Taylor
that.
Thing, it really must have just been like, let's get some people to get in seats because they want to see
this. It was overkill. It was overkill because
there's already 10,000 characters. Why did you
and that
do
plot,
this?
There is no plot to it. It's so like, I think because Taylor Swift is not an actor, it's so, every scene is like so stilted because they cut after every line Taylor Swift gives. There's a cut because they probably like we're just doing it a line at a time, and it never goes anywhere. There's no
well,
like
and also
arc.
From the trailer, there was at least one more Taylor and Taylor scene that they did cut for time. So I guess we're spared, but like
it's just bizarre. Like it's a weird thing to have in the movie. Yeah. Like I it's the kind of thing where like there is a scene in the beginning when we see it, and I thought that was going to be it. Like it was like a fun cameo vibe.
There's when Jennifer Garner is like leaving McDreamy's condo in the elevator, Taylor Swift is there with like an oversized bear, and she's just like, my boyfriend told me to go to my door, but then he wasn't there, and there's a bear.
I thought maybe I'm like as we were watching it. I thought maybe the way they were going to pay this plot line off was to be because it's shown throughout the movie like as like there's a scene when Jamie Foxx's cameraman who's like vying to be his own like I want to be a reporter or I want to be an anchor.
Oh God,
like,
I hated that scene more than anything.
Well, he takes a moment. Jamie Foxx leaves and he takes a moment. Where he's like, all right, I'm going to do these fluff pieces now because I want to be on the air. And so he's interviewing Taylor Lautner and Taylor Swift, and he's basically saying like, I forget what the line he says, but he's basically revealing this relationship to be like nothing. There's nothing here, and that's what I thought this plot line was going. I thought it was going to reveal later. Where they both realize, oh, we don't really like each other. It's like we're attracted to each other, but there's nothing here. And I thought that's how it was going to pay off. I thought, again, showing different levels of relationships in this movie, I thought that's what that was going to show.
No.
It's like,
you know what it showed, Dave? Is Taylor Swift is dating Taylor Lautner, and they're both in the movie.
Did you know that both these people are named Taylor, and then they're dating?
That's why there's nothing to it, because it's just stunt casting. Whereas, you know, while it's not good, the Emma Roberts and boyfriend storyline does try to say at least something about a young relationship. And it's kind of, you know, where it's just like,
it's a story. Like,
it's a story. They're like putting everything they can on their first time having sex. It's like, okay, this is like a typical, like, you know, high school problem, you know, that you see in a movie like this. It's like, that's an actual story. And it has, I guess, a payoff where they're like, there's no perfect time to do it. It's just going to be natural.
We'll just have sex some other time.
That's essentially how it ends. It's like, we'll just have sex another time. It's like,
Stakes are very low.
The stakes are very low. And also, it's like, I think it's
funny.
Which
is fine.
That
I don't mind
that. I guess. But it's funny that the boyfriend's just like, well, we can still make out. And so at that point, it's clear. It's like, okay, this relationship isn't going to work. It's clear the boyfriend only has one thing on his mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and again, like that could be something where, again, if you have a movie that's showing all different varying levels of different types of relationships, that could be something where it's like there's nothing here. It's young love. It's two people who we find out don't really have anything in common, or
who like each other for a little bit, and then that's all. Once again, bring it back to fucking Love Actually, but I would say something that I like about that movie is of the, you know, 100 storylines, a good number of them don't end happily. And that's I don't like the fact that every single storyline in this movie has a neat little bow. It's like there should
and
have
like
been
the bad the quote unquote bad guys
oh, yeah,
like,
are
don't
punished.
The
yeah, there should have been, you know, at least one end and which should have been whatever of someone just kind of quietly being like, huh, well, guess that didn't work, or like, you know, it's every we have to see every single couple gets their kiss at the end. Even the stupid Taylor and Taylor has like a, you know, button on there. They have
a
sweet little kiss at the
end. Aren't
their
character names Taylor and Taylor?
I don't know. They don't have names.
I think they might have been. Taylor Lautner's character is named Willie.
Okay, sure. Let's take a moment. I've already talked
Taylor
about...
Taylor Swift is named Felicia Miller.
Let's take a moment with some of these names, because we already pointed out Edison Paddington.
Edison!
One of the
Julia
ones...
Roberts, the mom's name, is Captain Catherine Hazeltine.
Sure.
Who wrote these names?
That's the one that stood out to me so much is the Jessica Alba character's name is Morley Clarkson. Huh? What?
Morley.
Fucking Morley Schaefer, Jessica Alba over here. Like, what?
These are weird names. The parts of this movie do feel like it was written by like a robot or like an alien or like an AI. What I referenced earlier, the nature of Ashton Kutcher's job is
Flower
one of those
man.
Things. Yeah. But yeah, this is another Morley, human name, Morley Clark. Sorry for any listens out there with the name Morley.
I'm sorry for any of the like elderly Jewish men out there who are listening. Like, what? Yeah, let's give that name to Jessica Alba.
So weird.
And again, the kid, Edison Paddington.
Edison Paddington!
Can't be said enough.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I figured Jessica Alba's character, there would be some sort of more payoff than she checks into a hotel and then we later see her walking down the street by herself with a dog.
And her, they couldn't even commit to her being, like, villainous even. Like, her and Ashton Kutcher's breakup is, like, she's just not really that into him.
Yeah, it could have been a
she
fun way to
she just kind of focused
end,
on her career.
Like, what if, like, it ends with, like, she's now the new mistress for Dr.
Yeah, she runs
Creepo.
Into Dr. Creep or something. Not that she needs to be punished narratively, but that just...
Something.
Nothing happened.
Well, just some sort of something
What's
for
the
her.
Is the doctor and the wife, is the last scene of them in the dinner?
In the restaurant. We don't even see the wife turn and be like, really? Another one?
We see Patrick Dempsey, like, alone in his bedroom with
pizza. Yeah, there's like a 1 second shot of like maybe she kicked him out, I guess.
Maybe she's sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, but like
well why would she be sleeping on the couch?
Yeah, she's sleeping in the bed.
Yeah, well, she should be. He apparently is. Well, maybe she went to the condo. I don't know.
There's no condo.
I'm taking our daughter to the
that's
condo.
Where she was with Jennifer Garner in the first scene.
I thought that was Jennifer Garner's house.
No.
Oh.
That's okay. What the first Taylor Swift... I can't believe I remember this movie as well. But that was the first Jennifer Garner, Taylor Swift moment in the elevator where Taylor Swift is like, so do you live here? Because I see you around a lot.
Oh,
and Jennifer Garner's like, no.
No, I couldn't say that I just date someone in here.
I have to be fucking weird about this. That's the crux of this movie is there's not a single human being in it. And that's the crux of most bad rom-coms. Is
can
that
I say
there's no human beings?
I just thought of I was trying to think of what we haven't talked about and
what are we missing?
So Georgia Lopez is Ashton Kutcher's friend. Scene towards the end of this movie that I thought was like unintentionally hilarious, and it was positives. I'll say I like the. I feel like this is like a reoccurring thing where I like a lot of the relationships that aren't the romances. Like I like the Queen Latifah and Anne Hathaway chemistry. I liked the chemistry between Jamie Foxx and Kathy Bates, what little there is.
I like Hector Elizondo and the grandson and the car.
Yeah, that was nice.
And I like the chemistry between Ashton Kutcher and Georgia Lopez. Like I buy their friendship. I like that Ashton Kutcher is like clearly like learned some actual Spanish that he's like using and talking with him. But there's a funny moment where like they're
like
drops
done, him off at yeah.
Yeah, they're done working for the day and George Lopez is like talking about like his wife. He needs like had a stable relationship kind of thing, and he's like telling Ashton Kutcher about love and what true love is, you know, and they're at his doorstep and George Lopez is like, well, anyway, bye. And then he doesn't invite him in, and just like Ashton Kutcher, like a Dickens novel, like
at their wide, like looks open in curtains
his,
window.
Yeah, wide open curtains. Is George Lopez is just like being greeted by his family,
his
like,
wife and
hugging
many
him.
Kids. He brought them like cookies.
It's so funny that he doesn't like. Yeah. Was like, no, you can't come in to say
anyway,
hi. Like,
good night.
You can wait out here and watch my loving
bye.
Family dote on
the,
me.
You know, it's funny the way George Lopez is. George Lopez represents another rom-com trope of the wise friend or the
yes.
wise older mm-hmm. person that helps them through their trials and tribulations.
Well,
like,
it's just
to the point-
really normal having your 20 years older best friend. What?
Yeah, he's a coworker.
Well,
you work with people.
It was to the point
ages.
Where I almost thought, like, is he going to, like, disappear? You know what I mean? Like,
well, and again, in
fades away in a cloud of mist.
You know, one of the
is
tropes
he the
of-
voice. Is he like the voice, the narrator at the beginning, like a la Pretty Woman? Did you guys notice that? That
oh, yeah,
kind of like
yeah.
Pretty Woman callback, the narrator in the beginning and end.
But yeah, of the wise non-white, you know, guardian.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. He was a ghost the whole time.
Well, wait, so Ashton Kutcher's like, so wait a minute, who's been doing my deliveries?
Wait,
oh, my
so
God.
Who's been business part? Oh, my God.
There was also another funny rom-com moment that I enjoyed. Throughout the movie, because it's Valentine's Day, we see several randos, several just background characters just in love.
Oh, yeah, various couples.
Like, and it reminded me of the opening scene of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, where
great.
In that
yes,
movie,
go on.
They're in New York City, and therefore everyone's eating pizza all the time.
Oh,
we
yeah.
have to establish this.
So this movie's Valentine's Day, therefore, everyone's in love.
I do love that, like, this has the trope of, it's a movie about a holiday, so you gotta just have constant references to the holiday. Like,
oh, God.
Way
yeah.
more than you ever would in actual, like, everyone's just all day like,
exactly.
it's Valentine's Day, you know, it's Valentine's
Day. Hey, everyone, and it's, I was thinking about that of, like, what is the kind of top age, like, the years that Valentine's Day like seems like a really big deal, I feel like is only like high school and below, where you might have like a, I don't know, you have a partner who gives a really big shit about Valentine's
gives
Day.
Gives a rat's ass.
But like basically from elementary school to high school is the only time when like you have to think about it, whether it's like you, if we're doing the class thing where like every kid has to get one for everyone else, or you're a teenager who's very focused on like, well, all those people have boyfriends and girlfriends and I don't. But like past the age of 18, it's kind of like, who cares? Do something
it sounds
or don't.
Like sounds like the three of us would be hanging out the hanging out at the I hate Valentine's
hey,
Day.
Hey, I'd
party,
get every I'm gonna get everyone at
I mean,
the shop a I choose you Valentine.
I like any excuse to celebrate something. Whatever.
I mean it can
I'm
be fun and cute, but it's
I do
like,
wish
it's
we
not
had the day
actually
off
a
work.
Big yeah.
But, I mean, I don't think I get any days off at the store.
That's another Jamie Foxx line that I liked right at the very beginning. He's like, I don't like Valentine's Day. It's not even a real holiday. We don't get it off work. He's like, hey,
to be fair,
right.
we're taking a whole, you know, 3 hours or so just to talk about a movie. We're not working right now. We've been turning customers away as we talk about
this. Oh, yeah. I've been shooting them the finger this whole time.
This might as well be work.
Yeah, we don't record. We record the show during store hours, and during which time we just avoid our customers. Yes.
I hope they like Valentine's Day.
I don't know if it's ever been brought up on the show or not.
But yeah, it's such. I feel like it's only a rom-com trope for like grown adults to actually have strong feelings either way about Valentine's Day.
I agree. I feel like in all the relationships I've been in, like neither one of us cared about Valentine's Day. It's like, eh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, do you want to like,
what's your,
you know, have
say,
some nice dinner or something? If that,
I want to get into this a little bit more, Dave. Let's say like, you know, let's say I'm dating Dave. What can I expect on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, what are you getting us for Valentine's Day?
Like,
Dave?
is it just like we're above this? There's nothing, or are you doing like something to be like, all right, here's a thing because we have to.
it's more just like I think in the relationships I've been in, And Mike, if you're going to get into a relationship with me, you got to know. I'm not a big into Valentine's Day thing because mainly, like, it's like As far as like trying to get dinner reservations on Valentine's Day and stuff like that, it's always a nightmare, especially in the wasteland. You would not believe. But it's just, I don't know.
How many restaurants left?
Yes, you gotta go fast.
My for me, at least in the past, it's always been more like, let's just have like a quiet evening at home type thing. I'll get you a card, maybe some flowers or something, or chocolates, whatever. Or I'll try to do a nice gesture, like something that's tailored specifically for that person that shows that I listen, that I care, that kind of thing. Not,
well, that sounds very nice.
It sounds bear like a, or something.
Yeah, that's the thing where it's like, if you're in like a nice relationship, then it's good to just do nice things for each other. And maybe
just
that
a
means
nice gesture.
Yeah, maybe that means getting like some flowers or something. Or maybe it's just being nice, being sweet.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe it's getting a gigantic overstuffed teddy bear.
Yeah. Maybe that's actually
or going
the
home
only
to your secret
way
family
that I can express my is through giant.
Show them your care by going to your secret family.
I took my wedding ring off for you tonight.
That's so sweet.
I'm glad you didn't leave the wedding ring
thanks
on.
For taking it off for once.
Oh my
thanks
God.
For not rubbing it in my face that you're married.
Literally rubbing the wedding ring in my face.
Well, I did you guys have any other like favorite? Well, one thing we got to mention, there are a few other like character actors in this movie that I don't think had quite hit big yet, but we're on the precipice of doing that. One of which is Kristen Schaal.
She has
a very brief cameo in this movie.
Shows up
as,
for
like,
two
the,
seconds as like nervous teacher.
As basically Kristen Schaal.
Yeah.
And she's one of the people that Emma Roberts' character for some reason is just telling everyone who will listen, I'm going to have sex with my boyfriend for the first time today. It's like,
today at
that?
Lunch. Yeah.
You're
just saying it, first of all, but you're just saying it to your teacher. Okay.
To your teacher
and then
to
you
your,
say
to your kindly grandparents.
Yeah. You say this later to just like some old people. Oh my God.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, it wasn't there. It wasn't her grandparents.
No,
it's
the people she's nannying for. It's
even weirder.
Which is
weirder.
The people who pay you to nanny their grandson.
But you know what? As weird as all that stuff is, I forgive it because it's worth it. Because we get what, in my opinion, is the funniest line in the movie, where she's explaining to Kristen Schaal, you know, I'm busy. I'm going to be having sex,
with my boyfriend for the first time.
Wow.
First time having sex for both of us.
That is quite a special time for you.
It's Valentine's Day. We're in love. We're both 18. And it's just, I want it to be special. The point is, my parents, they work, so they'll be gone during lunch, and lunch is the only time that can work out. You know, I'm free tomorrow. Lunchtime. Lunchtime tomorrow, I'll definitely be free.
Well, you'll be done having sex by then?
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. It'll be good.
All right. Bye.
That was a legitimately frontline line. I laughed out loud.
I love seeing Kristen Schaal show up. Yeah.
That's fun. That was nice. That was I was like, a funny person in this not funny movie. Like, please save me, Kristen Schaal.
Give us anything. Give us a crumb.
Seriously, and she delivered a full course meal with that one line.
That one line. I don't think I have anything else to say except for the other reason why Taylor Swift was in this movie, so they could have a Taylor Swift song.
Figured that was a Taylor Swift
song. Today was
a
fairy tale by Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I assume.
Also, apparently, Jamie Foxx recorded a song for this movie too called Quit Your Job that appears in the film,
tell
but not
Jamie
on
Foxx.
The soundtrack, however, because of its vulgar lyrics. This is according to the Chat TV. Or, I'm sorry, the Chatpedia.
Speaking of, that reminds me, there was another, we were talking about like 2010-isms and things that are like, I'm glad those things are gone, or at least like not as prevalent. We get a little gay panic in the movie towards the end.
Oh yeah.
When Jamie
Foxx, we've got to throw it in there.
Well,
he's like breaking the story about how Sean Jackson is gay, and it's like, I think it's cool, but like, I stand behind him. I mean, not behind him. I wouldn't stand behind a gay man.
I was honestly expecting him to say no homo or something.
I was expecting the literal no homo.
I was shocked he didn't say it.
And it's so interesting because, like, again, we talked about, like, that is one of the few moments where I was actually surprised by this movie. And that would have, if at the time, like, an active NFL player came out as gay in 2010, like, that would have been a big deal.
It would have, yeah. By the way, I'm reading the lyrics to Quit Your Job by Jamie Foxx.
Oh, is it vulgar?
And it's filthy.
Oh, great. Oh,
it's basically like, quit your job so you can have sex with me.
Oh, cool.
And there's a lot of swear words.
What if his character's like, hey, what's your name? Hey, Morley, or Morsley, or whatever your name is.
Morley.
Like, I wrote a song for you.
Hey, I heard you're it's really into your career. Guess what? Quit your job.
Oh,
man.
But you're totally right. Like, in 2010, if an NFL player, like, especially, like, a big one who everyone's talking about, literally comes out with this line that says, I'm gay and I'm going to play, that's headlines.
They set it up as basically he's like the Tom Brady, right? Where he's he's super good, but he's old and it's like, should he retire?
He's 35.
Well, I mean, when you're a football player.
I know, that's,
and you're getting,
that's 85.
That's right. 85, yeah.
And I do like that it's one of those twists where you see in retrospect how it would be set up. Because there's like a thing where he's having a conversation again with George Lopez and is basically like, George Lopez is talking about love on Valentine's Day or something, and like, you know, when you find it, you just gotta blah blah blah, and that's like Sean Jackson, the football player character, is like, I know what I have to do.
I know what I have to do.
And then he like holds a press conference where it's all about like his retirement or whatever, and he's like, I'm telling you now, I'm gay. And
they're like, are you gonna retire? He's like, nah, I'm just gay.
I didn't see that twist coming.
I really
did a good job of concealing that, because they make you think that, oh, he just wants to have a family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they throw those things in there where like he walks out like on his little patio or whatever, and there's like,
yeah,
these
like
women sunbathing, and
the sexy ladies were like, join us, come
it's
on.
It's funny, like these siren women, like they
yes.
imply that like they're always out there being like, come on, have fun with the three of us.
Are these three hotties? He's like, haha, no, sorry, bye.
Not today.
Hi, neighbor. Hey, Sean.
Hey, girls.
Hey, when are you gonna come over for a swim?
Sorry, sweetie. I got lots going on today.
I'm running out of patience.
And I'm running out of willpower. But right now, I gotta make a call.
No, thank you.
By the time like an active NFL player did come out, that was it like almost a decade later, like it like 7 or 8 years.
I don't think it was like a big name football
yeah, it was
star
just like
at the time.
Some
I think it was
guy.
Like someone who was just drafted.
Yeah, like if it had been Tom Brady being like, "Yeah, I'm gay," it's like, whoa.
If Tom Brady came out as gay, they would have shut the NFL down.
Yeah. They would have actually make football illegal. I can't think of anything else about this film besides, I guess, quit your
job.
Yeah,
and he gets to be with Bradley Cooper at the end, and because they're gay, they just like gaze longingly at each other.
Yeah, there's like a tender touch of the face, and then that's it. Imagine if they had ended this movie on a gay kiss.
Like, and it's not even like, oh, I want to see a gay kiss. Like, it feels
weird.
It just
would have been sweet
to
just have them kiss.
I'm not going to lie. I right up to the very moment until he's revealed, I didn't know it was Bradley Cooper. I thought, like, oh, is this going to be Patrick Dempsey?
He's got another.
He's like, hey.
He can't be stopped.
My other stuff fell through, babe.
Oh, man. I swear
funny.
To God, I thought that. I'm not making a joke. I thought, is this going to be Patrick Dempsey?
That would have been funny.
That would have been wild. He's like, you didn't think I'd forget.
I bought you some flowers.
He puts on another wedding ring.
He gives him the little like Valentine little toy.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
He's like, I got you
perks.
This.
Hey, this is my first stop tonight. I wasn't anywhere else.
Sean Jackson's like, I thought you were in the condo or something.
You said you were in surgery all day.
Oh, man. But, I will say, like, I believe it or not, I didn't hate this movie. Because,
wow.
Because I'll say this, because this movie is like rom-com ADD. Like, if you're not liking one thing, don't worry, because it'll jump to this thing and this thing and this thing. Like, oh, you don't like this? Well, we got 20 other subplots that you could like. You know, so it's like, it makes it hard to really to really get behind anybody or get or empathize.
It does make it go by quicker.
Well, it makes it go by quicker because there's so many things going on, but at the same time, it does make it hard to connect because, like, the movie doesn't really feel like it's coalescing until halfway through once it's finally stopped introducing characters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the second half of this movie, I'm like, okay, it's finally starting to come together, and there are a few people that I will probably always like. Like, Hector Elizondo is just one of those. We talked about this on Pretty Woman. Like, he's just one of those likable grandpa-type characters. You're like, you just like seeing him in a movie. And Anne Hathaway was fun. And so there are a few little strands I can grasp on where I'm like, okay, I'm not having a terrible time. That said, this would not be, if we're going to get into recommendations, this would not be a rom-com I would recommend.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more better rom-coms out there with substance that are, or just that are just plain funnier. My favorite is As Good As It Gets. When Mike mentioned When Harry Met Sally, there's better movies. Love Actually, I would say Love Actually is a better version of this
movie. It is for all of that movie's many, many faults. It's better at what it is than this movie by leaps and bounds.
Yeah. But, you know, I will say, if you like Taylor Swift, this is the movie for you.
Wait, that's something for you. I just also connected, because I mentioned earlier that Gary Marshall did The Princess Diaries. I forget if he did the second one, too, but that's where he met Anne Hathaway. So that makes sense that she is in this movie, given, again, her all, because she can't help it, but give her all.
Oh, speaking of which, Gary Marshall has a cameo at the end. He's one of the violin players.
It pops up. That was cute. He loves showing up as a rando in a suit. In a little tux.
Is that when Topher Grace gives, like, the serial killer ransom sorry note?
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, one last note. Fuck Topher Grace.
Speaking to that real quick before we wrap up, I think that could have been a nice gesture. But, yeah, it wasn't very well put together. Like I mentioned before, like if you're gonna do something nice on Valentine's Day, make like a nice gesture that's like tailored specifically to that person. That
you can't ever glue Polaroids onto construction paper and have it not look like Seven.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that he could have done better with the presentation. That's all I'm saying.
Also, it's the Polaroids that Anne Hathaway took of him earlier in the movie. But the card is just pictures of him that he's giving to her.
Yeah,
he's like, hi, sorry.
Like, he couldn't have gone to, like, a one-hour photo. Like, they have options where you can get something better made. You know what I mean? He had options.
Anyway, I would also not recommend this movie. As I said, I like rom-coms. I like them when they're good and bad. But I do have my limits. And I appreciate... just the 10,000 hardworking actors that they cast in this movie, but God bless them. It was all for naught.
You know, it made me wonder what the budget of this movie was like, because
that's
there's
the
so
thing.
Many stars in it. Like, how much did it cost?
Well, this and like the New Year's Eve one, which is again the exact same movie set on New Year's Eve. It's like, at what point did we just call this straight up like money laundering?
It cost $52 million and it made $216 million.
Oh my God.
That makes sense because, like, there are a lot of stars, but a lot of them are only in it for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, they only had to pay people for, like, 2 days tops.
They only had to pay Julia, like, $2 million.
They only had to give Bradley Cooper his sitting rate.
Yeah, his sitting
rate.
Fee.
I love the fact that Gary Marshall, like, a few years later was like, wait a minute, so you're telling me that romantic stuff happens on New Year's Eve, too? Well, we got to get on this. We got to get a movie on that.
It was the
do
next
a bunch
year.
Of people
was,
do things?
It was a 2011 movie. This was 2010.
Oh, yeah. Wow. So they just turned right around and were like, we could do another one of these, right?
Oh, wow. This like... did get some awards for the Golden Raspberry Awards. Worst actor, Taylor Lautner and Ashton Kutcher were nominated, and Ashton Kutcher won.
Oh, good for him.
Worst supporting actress was also won by Jessica Alba.
Oh, yeah, and she was not good at this.
Pretty bad in the movie.
Although,
to be fair to her, this role was pretty thankless.
They didn't win, but they were nominated for Best Kiss at the MTV Movie Awards, Taylor Swift and Taylor Lautner.
I guess they do make out on camera a lot.
It's for the kids.
Yeah, it's for the kids. God. Oh, God.
Well, would you recommend this movie, Mike?
No, I'm sorry. Like, I hate to dunk on a movie that is recommended or someone wanted us to do. I hope we weren't like just dunking on it. Like,
I think we had some substantive things
to
say.
Yeah, there's stuff to talk about, and there's some enjoyable moments for sure. This isn't like a Batman v Superman where I'm just like wanting to gouge my eyes out watching.
But again, it's popcorn, and popcorn is very easy to eat. So
yeah, if you're gonna put it that way, like if given the choice between this and Batman v Superman, I will choose Valentine's Day every time.
Yes, absolutely. So I guess if you're out there in the waste and you only have Batman v Superman or this movie, this is a strong recommendation. Go with this.
Double feature, do them both.
Over any Snyder movie, any Zack Snyder film.
I want Ben Affleck Batman to show up in Valentine's Day and to be running around this brightly, flatly lit city.
Out of breath.
Yeah. In his 200-pound armor and be like, do you want to marry me?
Martha.
Morley,
why did you say that name?
My mother's name is Morley.
I'm sorry, Bruce. It's just like, it's too fast and I want to focus on my career.
Bruce, my career. I can't be with you until Gotham City doesn't need Batman anymore.
I'm just, you know, I'm a cat burglar. I got, it's my career. Uh-huh. Well, that, you know, good job, Mike. Turning a negative into a positive.
Yeah,
we love it.
Thank you.
Listener, I hope that you liked our episode. We weren't necessarily overtly kind to the movie, but we found some silver linings, you know. And you know, honestly, like, I'm just glad that we got an honest to God Valentine's Day movie, that we weren't recommended some completely different movie that had nothing to do with the holiday, nothing to do with love. In that sense, I think we lucked out.
I agree. Like, this is a Valentine's Day movie.
It was exactly what it said on the tin.
Yeah, it delivered on Taylor Lautner and Taylor Swift, you know?
Yeah.
They were in the movie.
So if you want to travel back in time to the far-off land of 2010, we got the movie for you.
Yeah, nice little time capsule movie. And that's where we'll leave you, folks. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's out there to
love
all the cool
is
cats in the waist.
Love. What was that? As Midnight Cowboy. Midnight Romeo. Midnight
Cowboy. That movie ends on the weird line where it's like...
He's like, no, go have sex.
No, he's it's
get naked.
Yeah, let's all get naked.
Crap. And then that's the end of the movie and the end of the podcast. Let's go get naked.
Have fun out there with all your many mistresses and wives, listeners.
Juggling your many families.
She loves giraffes.
Oh.